First of all, we appreciate you coming on, man. World champ, you know.
Champ.
World champ. We appreciate you coming on, world champ. I got to say that, man.
Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having me, man.
Man, we watched your whole career, man, and man, love what you do, man. You always was highly talked about as a good teammate, man, and always been fan how you dunked it. Appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
When you first got to the league and you first started getting playing time, who was the first person to bust your ass?
Ooh. All right, so coming into the league, extremely aggressive. I'm trying to find my way on the court. So I'm like, okay, if I block shots and rebound, like that's what the energy they go keep me out there. So, I mean, I don't know if I can swear on this show, but like.
Yeah, you can swear all you want.
Motherfucker go like this, I'm jumping, you know,
yeah.
at 19.
And everything.
So,
everything.
Chris Bosh, like. Ooh. You know, he had elbow pump fake. You know, he had all of it. You know
lefty.
What I mean?
Ooh.
He was in Toronto at the time, and Mike Dunleavy was like, DJ, go out there, get him. I'm like, cool, bet, let's go. You know, I'd go out there. He kidded on the elbow. He just looked in the sky. I jump. By the time I get down, he'd already laid the ball in, you know. So the second time, I'm like, all right, I got to stay down. He pump fake again. I stay down. Pump fake again. I jump, foul. You know what I mean? So then Marcus Camby was like, man, you got to work on your timing and study these guys' moves. But I was like, man, I'm so excited to be out here. Like, I needed to be aggressive. So Chris Bosh definitely, you know, welcomed me to the league.
That dirty
left,
man.
Yeah, man. He was, yeah.
So I see him and Z-Bo go at it like crazy. Like, that Toronto Raptor, Chris Bosh. They forgot about him.
Yo, 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 we live on location, Los Angeles, California. We came through a hurricane, Black, am I right?
You know that, don't you?
Hey, when we come through a hurricane, man, it gotta be something special on the other end of that thing. Today we got an NBA world champ in the building. Denver Nuggets on DeAndre Jordan.
He a Clipper, though.
He a Clipper, though. We don't always claim that Clipper at heart, but he gotta be a Nugget for life, too. Now he got that brain for him, you feel me?
Houston, Texas. Tell us about Houston. Who put the ball in your hand?
So I grew up, my mom, she had four boys. We all 2 years apart. I'm the oldest. So sports was kind of something that kept us out of trouble. You know what I mean? And it was kind of hard not to play basketball. We did every football, basketball, whatever. We could do two-on-two.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those things ended up in some fighting, some swinging. You know what I mean? So I think basketball was something that I was really, really good at, and I loved to play. And I think from then it kind of took off. And once I learned how to work out and take it seriously and kind of like, all right, I'm going to work out before school and after school. Like, and I was like, okay, I'm kind of—
You started working out yourself or somebody?
I started working out with somebody.
With somebody. Who was that person?
One of my high school AAU coaches. My first team I played, like, an organized team with.
Yeah.
It was like eighth grade summer.
Because
I was just playing at the park, rec league, stuff like that. But like when I actually got on a team.
How old were you when you first dunked?
I was eighth grade going to ninth grade that summer.
How tall were you?
I was 6'2".
Was you dunking the tennis ball, then the volleyball?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then you know you go up like this, kind of what I'm saying? That's how I was dunking at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then like that summer, I started dunking the ball crazy. And I remember coming back ninth grade, I dunked the ball in the game. And I just blacked out. And then next thing I know, the other team on the free throw line, I'm like, what happened? They're like, oh, you was cussing.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, you cussing.
I went crazy. I was like, yeah, motherfucker, like, da-da-da.
Yeah.
Boop. And then next thing I look up, they shooting a free throw. I'm like, man, I don't remember none of that. What happened? You know what I'm saying? I just remember, like, they was in the press, you know, high school pressing. And I got the ball at half court. I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm like, this is the time. It's going down, you know?
Yeah.
So from that point on, it was just kind of like, yeah, I like to do that.
If you were 6'2", then when did you hit your growth spurt?
I had a growth spurt from my sophomore year. No, I'm sorry, from going to ninth grade to 10th grade. I was 6'2", and then I came back my sophomore year, I was 6'8". So everybody looking at me, kind of like, what's going on? And I'm, you know, you don't really feel yourself growing, but that summer my knees was going crazy. I couldn't sit in the car for a long time. My mind
was
dry.
Was you sleeping a lot?
Yeah, I was sleeping a ton. But my knees, man, my knees was on fire. Like, I sit in the car, she's red light, I got to stick my knee out because I'm like, man, my knee just throbbing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I came back and my classmates were kind of like, man, what's up with you? And I'm like, what's up with y'all? Like, I'm, But then I was like, oh shit, I kind of got to like duck when I'm coming into this door. You know what I mean? Man. But yeah, that freshman to sophomore growth spurt was crazy.
You in one a good class. Like it's, I think Blake in your class. Yep. Like there's a lot of guys in your class. When did you realize you was nice amongst them?
When I started playing in AAU tournaments. Mm. I think the first AAU tournament I played in where I got some notoriety was the Kingwood Classic in Houston. And I caught a body out there.
Yeah.
like that weekend, I got a ton of offers. You know what I mean? And the next game, every college coach was in there. So I was like, oh, damn, I'm doing something. You know, I'm doing something good. And then like ABCD camp, those things roll around. Yeah. You know
who
what I mean?
Who were some of the guys you used to see that was nice, that was ahead of you?
I was always looking at Greg Oden.
Greg Oden.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, man, this dude out here blocking everything, dunking everything. Monster. So I'm like, damn, like, whew. And at that time I was 16, so I'm like, damn, like, who they play next? They play us? I'm like, I don't know if I want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm like watching this dude. This dude a grown man out here, and I still have some developing to do.
Yeah.
But my class, man, it was like Derrick Rose, Mike Beasley, O.J. Mayo, Kevin Love.
Yeah.
You know, we had some monsters
in that class.
Yeah,
I know them hitters was in your class.
Anytime, any AAU tournament you went to, whether it was Vegas, it was, you know, Atlanta, wherever, like, you knew it wasn't going to be no easy feat. You had to go against somebody who was ranked top 10 each game. So, like, that shit was cool to be able to play against guys where I'm like, okay, well, hey, if it's a big, I know I got to go at him. If it's a guard, I got to go up there and, like, defend the rim or whatever it is. But
when you start seeing your name on, like, the rankings and you amongst the big men and all that stuff, how was that for you?
Well, my year, I was the second-ranked big man behind Kevin Love. So my mentality was anytime Kevin Love did something, I had to do something.
You had to do something.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's back when, like, he was making the crazy passes, you know what I'm saying? Like he was
super
skilled,
he was
getting loose. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, if he do this or, you know, he hit a couple threes, I know I got to go out here. I got to dunk something crazy. I got to block a couple shots. I got to make everybody be like, okay, we looking at DJ. You know what I'm saying? But that competition in high school really fueled a lot of us, I feel like, to be like, it was friendly, but it was like, okay, I'm watching them. I got to, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's where that ego kind of come from, chasing that dream a little bit.
You didn't make McDonald's.
I did not.
When you didn't make McDonald's, and I know you, everybody wanted to be McDonald's, how did that motivate you?
I was hot.
I was hot.
Because you was one of the top players,
and I was hot.
How he didn't make
did
McDonald's?
Did you know, like, before the announcement, like, what was you, did you find
yeah,
out?
They sent me a letter. They sent me a letter and was like, you know, some bullshit, you know what I mean? You know, thanks for your
participation
and blah, 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 but like, you won't be selected. And I was like, damn. So I mean, when I was in high school, I was obviously in my senior year. I'm like, damn, like, all right, cool. I'm going to hold on to this.
Yeah.
And I had it in my car
at
the time. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go work out. Cool. I read that shit, folded it up, went to the gym. But I ended up playing in the Jordan game. And then the Reebok, like it was like, I forget the name of it, but it was in Chicago. That one was cool. But I was like, you know what? I ain't really need that shit. But it was motivation to kind of like keep working. Like, hey, man, they don't think you're good enough, so you got to keep working.
I know. We're going to take anything they give us, though.
We all got to find that certain motivation. And I know you was one of the high-ranked players that didn't make the McDonald's game, but you was in every other game after that.
Mm-hmm.
How was it meeting Mike?
You know what? It was something that you kind of, as a kid, you kind of like, damn, like.
Was he glowing?
You know what I mean? You know, you think about it, you're like, man, I think MJ, Bull, Space Jam. You know, you're thinking about all that stuff when you meet this dude and you kind of just, like, I'm going to say this, you know. But then when you get up there, you kind of just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
I seen people call him Mr. Jordan. What's wrong with you, bro?
They bring you up and say, Mr. Jordan, bro, Mr. Juicy, you out here.
Yeah, man. So it's kind of like, lame. I'm going to tell him this. I'm going to tell him what I'm about to do. Yeah. You go up there, you just be like, okay. And they be like, all right, next, boom. And you just kind of like, oh, shit, all right, I missed my opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how that situation went, quick.
Could it have been any other school that could have got you before Texas A&M? Somebody almost got you.
I damn near committed to UT, like, in the locker room at an elite camp. Yeah, like, you know, when you 16 years old, you go up in there, they got your locker and your name and your jersey, shoes and all of that. They got that stuff up, and I call my mom. I'm like, yo, I got to go. I'm going here. I'm coming. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, no, Rick Barnes, I'm about to tell him right now, you know? And she's like, let's just wait a week. I said, nah, you don't understand. I got my jersey already ready for me to pull up, you know?
Yeah. So that's a ploy.
She's like, wait, you know? But I had a ton of friends, like, at UT. I had some people who I was close with at LSU. And then once Billy Gillespie left and went to Kentucky, I started to think about Kentucky. But, you know, at that point in time, getting your release was very tough from school.
It wasn't no portal. Y'all young fellas is blessed and highly favored right now with that transfer portal. Look, I feel like they lack a little of that bit of that toughness we was forced to have. We had to fight through
shit. You got to stay. Or if you want to transfer, you got to sit out a year. So I'm like, oh, I ain't doing that.
They just be like, oh, no, it ain't cool. We out.
Yeah, like, so I feel like that kind of, I mean, it's cool if that's what you want to do, but, like, you can't escape every situation like that, especially when you get to the league. You know, it's kind of like, all right, well, shit, I ain't playing over here. Like, I'm going to go to another team. Nah, it ain't like that.
Did you, like, go to college like, man, all right, I'm trying to go one and done. I'm trying to be in and out of here. Or did it just develop as the season went on? How did it play out for you?
Well, yeah, I think when people tell you, like, hey, this, you know, you could be out of here, we start looking at draft mock-ups and stuff. Because, I mean, like, we say we don't look at that stuff, but we look at that shit. No. You know what I'm
saying? One way or another,
if your name
your
is
brother,
on the screen,
cousin,
looking at it.
You looking at it.
Somebody, even if you ain't, let's be frank, your teammate, your best friend, your family,
you see
somebody
you
gonna bring to like, let you know something.
You have a good game, a bad game that week, then you're like, oh, shit, let me see if I dropped on here. Let me see. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I had a double-double, couple blocks. Maybe I moved up. You know what I'm saying? I think I already had that in the back of my mind. Like, this is my goal. I want to reach this. I want to go to the league after this year. But when you playing, you kind of like, I don't want to look at it because I don't want to put that pressure on myself.
Yeah.
But after the tournament, I was like, yeah, I can't come back to school again. Like, I got to get out of here. Like, because there was no disrespect to Texas A&M. I just was like ready to take another step. You know what I'm saying? And I was confident in myself to be able to do that. And, you know, one of my really, really good friends, who is Russ, they beat us in Anaheim, UCLA. They had 10 pros on their team at the time. They cheated us, though, for sure. He know that. He know that. But
For the record.
Yeah, for the record, he know what was up. They filed Donald Sloan on a shot. They know. But after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the league. I took my chance, and then the Clippers took a chance on me.
Was you scared?
Hell yeah, I was scared.
Because that's a leap.
Yeah,
that's
a leap.
You know, to decide just like, yeah, I'm just going to.
And where were you, like,
and
when
like,
you,
where
were you projected? Like, where
well,
were
my, my projection was late lottery, late first.
So that's what make it scary, right?
I'm like, damn, that's a big drop off.
That's a slippery slope. Yeah. Like, that's what make it scary.
Yeah, like, you know, before the drive, it's like.
And you didn't play 4 years? Like, I can see if you was a 4-year player.
And then you're like, I ain't got no choice.
You don't got no choice, but.
Right. That shit was.
Projected to go second round, that them ain't guaranteed.
Nah, hell no.
Where were you? Where did you do your draft?
They told me to come to the draft.
So you were there?
I was in the green room.
Mm. I didn't know you was
there. Yeah, I was there. So
tell me this experience.
Yeah, that shit was insane. They told me to come to New York. I went there, boom. And, you know, this time was like, hey, you know what?
Best shit ever.
It's great. And, you know, your team's like, hey, if you there at this pick, we taking you. Mm-hmm. you know that whole thing.
Get a lot of that shit.
So I'm like, okay, cool, bet. Boom. I'm not going to rat you teams out, whatever. So they like, okay, cool, we going to take you. I'm like, all right, cool, bet. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, why the camera not coming over here then? They going to this guy. Like, what's going on with y'all?
Oh,
you know, they just told me.
And you steady watching the camera.
And I'm watching the camera, So the first round goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my mom, I'm like, yo, if I don't get picked at 30, I'm out. Mm-hmm. We leaving. So I still get Doc a hard time because he was in Boston. They drafted J.R. Giddens at the time. So I tell him, like, yo, what you ain't drafting me? What's going on?
They did draft
I give him a hard time about that, but I remember Krista Chin, who I'm sure y'all know.
Yeah, like, everybody. Yeah. Shout out Krista.
Shout out Krista, because I was about to leave. I got up, I'm out. If I get drafted, somebody will call me.
Yeah. You know?
So she's like, Sweet Pea, don't leave. You got to stay.
Sweet Pea. She gets you under control.
And I'm like, and at this point, I'm highly emotional. Yeah, I'm like, no, I can't sit up here and cry
like
in front of these people.
Looking
like,
at you and everything.
My friends, my brothers with me, like, they in high school and middle school. I'm like, man, I got to get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
She said, Sweet Pea, just stay. So then 5 picks later, at 35, the Clippers drafted me. And I was like, I didn't have an individual workout for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Neither did we.
You know what I'm saying? So when they drafted me, I was kind of like, all right, cool, bet. Like, Clippers, you know? Yeah. L.A., I ain't never been to L.A. before. I went to San Diego for the Pangos camp. That was the only time I had went to California.
Mm.
So I was like, all right, cool. They took a chance on me, bet. But I'm excited, but I'm also pissed at the same time.
Right.
Like, so it was kind of like a bitter. I'm like, I'm happy I'm off the board, but I'm also pissed at the 34 teams that went before me. And also, a couple of them teams had multiple picks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I was like, damn, like.
You paid with me not once, twice, but like.
How many workouts you do?
I did like maybe 6 workouts or so. And I was just talking because I'm working out with a couple guys right now, and JaVale is in our little workout group.
Yeah.
So we was talking about this yesterday. Like we had a couple workouts together because we were in the same draft class.
Okay.
And they asked
so
me,
you're
I was
going
like,
against JaVale in the workout.
Yeah, it was like me, JaVale, Roy Hibbert, Jason Thompson, guys like that going at it.
Yeah.
The Lopez twins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was, you know, we had some really good
bumps.
Dudes that was playing good in college too. You know what I mean?
So
it was funny, man, but I'm really fortunate that I ended up going to the Clippers, man, because, like, it was a chance for me to have some real OG vets.
Yeah.
And then it gave me a chance to also develop, and I wasn't, like, put into a situation where I was like, all right, cool, we drafted you. Let's go. You got to play, put up numbers right now.
Yeah.
When you talk about real OG vets, you know, I got to give salute to all our OG, MC, Marcus Camby.
Yeah.
Talk about the impact that he had on you as a young player coming into the league and being able to, like you say, have somebody like him to learn from.
Yeah, he's still one of my big brothers to this day. Like,
straight up.
Our families go on vacation together in the summertime. And I think that he knows, but I don't think he really knows the impact that he had on my career. You know, he really taught me how to study the game. You know, and I looked at everything he did because Gerd was, when I went to Gerd's camp in the summer.
Yeah, Gerd.
Gerd was like, you getting Marcus Camby, you better watch everything he does. Tote his jock strap. Watch, you know, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of like, all right, cool. So anything MC did, I was doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some things he was like, yo, you can't do that. You're a rook. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
right.
yeah.
So studying guys' moves. You know, what's his tendencies? What's his guard's tendencies? What shots he like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, calling out plays. Was something that he
Calling
did.
Out,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm sitting on the bench because I'm like, damn, like how he know this, what they about to run, you know? And he would be like, yo, floppy action. They go do a pin down on this side for so-and-so. I'm like,
whoa. Yeah, that linebacker out
like,
there.
Man, what the hell is he talking about? I have no, how do you know?
Yeah.
But I would watch him the entire time and he was peeping like, oh, what the coach calling to the point at the free throw line. What he calling it. But he would memorize their top 5 plays, a couple inbounds plays, and he would alert the team.
Mm-hmm.
So in shoot-arounds, he'd be like, yo, what Chris Bosh like to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or what David Lee like to do?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, all right, what's this play? And sometimes I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, what's this play? I'm like, oh, I know this one. Cool.
Yeah.
So he's like, you need to know every play that we go through in shoot-around.
Yeah.
So after that, I just got hooked on it, man. Like, we would come in, you know, young boys doing the scout team and stuff. So I'm like, I got to memorize these plays. I know he go quiz me today.
Yeah.
Some days he wouldn't quiz me. Some days before the game, he'd be like, yo, what's this? Like, cool. You know, so I took pride in that as my career developed and as I developed as a player. And it just kind of became like second nature.
Second nature,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So that helped you out throughout your career.
Hell yeah.
And
hell
now do you do your young boys like that?
I do, yeah.
Like,
yes.
That's why that's the importance of the OGs, the Camby, the UD, because when a dude come in, like, look what you got a chance to turn into. All-star, you know, all first team defense, all them things. And some of that stuff got something to do with what you learned with. I mean, obviously, you had to go do it and be talented on your own, but you had a real OG.
Yeah, man. I had Baron Davis, Katino Mobley, Zach Randolph. I had like
Zevo.
Vets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like dudes that would just be making you do stuff for no reason, just to pay your dues, you know? Like I still, Marcus Camby made me go to Krispy Kreme. Baron Davis made me go to Starbucks and get a vanilla chai latte with soy milk. I still remember that. It was 16 years ago.
That boy.
First time I met you,
you
was
like,
Zevo.
That's crazy to
in
me.
In Memphis.
Yeah.
First time I met you was Zevo.
Yeah,
Zevo
like, yo, ride with me. You know, I'm like, all right. Bet. Like, I ain't, you know, I can't say no. You know what I mean? So it was just, and I appreciate them dudes because they really, like, put some fear in me a little bit, too, but also, like, was teaching me the do's and don'ts, and they was teaching me, like, lessons that they learned throughout their career.
So when the Clippers start depending on you, to start believing in you of being their go-to center, how did that make you feel? As you seen, because you know Zebo got traded. You see these guys, now you see the business of it. You got all these veterans, and next thing you know, Zebo gone. Katino gone.
Yep. Chris Kamen dipped. I'm like, oh, like, you know, it's my time.
Like, how did that make you feel when your opportunity presented itself?
Well, I think early, my rookie year, we only won 19 games. That's how I know.
I felt that
with that type of
situation. Yeah, we was 1963, and I was like, we won as many games as my age. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'll never forget that shit.
Never lost in your life like
never,
that.
Never, man. I'll never forget that. You know?
We didn't quite have that, but
man, I'm like, damn. Like, all right, so next year, we got to at least be in the mid-20s. Like, we got to, you know. And then the next year, we ended up getting Blake, obviously, and we just both started to improve, and then we got CP, and then we just added pieces, but with that situation, I kind of was like, I played some my rookie. I played maybe like 20-some games. Started a couple games because guys was in and out the rotation and hurt. And I was like, damn, like, I'm doing this with these minutes. Like, now I want more of this.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
I continued to work, and I'm like, damn, like, because at first they was like, I was like, oh, yo, MC, I got you. Like, sub. I was like, right. Nah. And practice was like, nah, you ain't coming in. I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, so the coach was like, get in there. I'm like, yo, I tried to get him. He said no.
The OGs in practice.
They're not coming out.
Out because this is their game time.
They're not coming out.
Derrick Strong used to do us like that when we first got to the league.
Everybody. I'm like, yo, Paul Davis, let me, y'all, fuck out of here. And like, damn, all right. Like, so coach is like, DJ, get in there. I'm like, I don't want to tell on these dudes. I'm like, coach, he said no. You know what I'm saying? What you want me to do? Like, I can't pull him off the court.
Take us back to that, like, we all saw the press conference or the aftermath of when y'all found out that Chris Paul was getting traded and y'all, you know, Lob City and you and Blake going crazy. Talk about how that was when CP first arrived and how that changed, like, kind of like everything for the Clippers moving forward, right? Like the whole belief system and everything, the way that y'all were viewed. Talk about that. Because you had been there, like you say, when you were 19.
Yeah, we was viewed like shitty, obviously. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like LA is a great city. It's also a Laker city, you know? And we knew that. We know that. Even when it was good, we still knew that.
Straight up.
And that's no disrespect to them, but we were still trying to come out and beat their ass every time.
Every time.
You know what I'm saying? But I think me and Blake were very hungry before CP got there, and we was learning, but we was also like trying to put on a show at the same time. But I think once Chris got there, it kind of changed our mentality. Like, nah, we not working hard enough. Yeah. We got to do more. Cause like, he expect this from us and like, we can't just keep not making the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And he really, I think, put a lot of, I wouldn't say pressure, but like he expected more of us to like be better students of the game and to our approach to be a little bit better. People have different views of CP. Like they'd be like, man, he be on you. Like, but like he like really helped us excel quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause he was so smart. He expected a lot out of you too. So it's kind of like when he got there, everything just changed.
The expectations
went
high.
Yeah. So it was, we knew we had to do better.
Let me ask you. You know, us as big men, you know, these little guys over here, but us as big men.
You really a small forward, B.
We love our point guard. How did CP being part of the team help your game?
Man, CP knew how to play. Like, he was so cerebral, man. Like, we were so young at that point. He was like, when I come on the screen, I don't even care why I'm throwing it. I'm just, y'all go get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, bet. So when he first came to the team, he was throwing lobs, and me and Blake was kind of like, damn, like, you putting it right at the rim. Like,
oh, you want something to do with it.
Yeah, so he was, what y'all mean? Like, yo, like, you could throw it a little, you know. He was
too on point with it.
Yeah, he was super on point, but it was like, you know, that's what great point guards do. He like, I see what I need to, so you just put, and we was like, nah, we want to catch it here. You know what I'm saying? So he was kind of like, oh, okay. So he would just come up, because at first he was like, you know, CP. But then he started coming off and just throwing it anywhere. He's like, I know one of y'all gonna go get it.
Yeah.
So like that kind of like like jump started everything, you know what I mean? And then Blake was such a great passer too. Like him and CP had a great two-man game. He would dump it off to Blake in the pocket. And if Blake went dunking on you, he was floating and he was throwing me a lob. So we had a real tight connection, man, and we was all working on that stuff. And then once we added like JJ, Jamal, Matt, guys like that, that shit just kind of took off.
When you first heard Lob City, how did you feel about the name?
I mean, I knew that's what it was going to be. But like, you know, but I'm like, man, like, could you see Chris with Tyson Chandler, with guys like that, Hilton Armstrong at the time, I believe. I'm like, man, these dudes is catching lines. I'm like, man, we a couple years younger than you, these dudes, and we, you know what I mean? This is what we want.
We really get it.
You know what I mean? Because Baron was throwing them same passes, but I'm like, now we got somebody doing that at the same level, if not higher. So it was something that we was looking forward to. You know, young boys, you want to dunk everything anyway. So with him being there, we like, man, we got CP. Oh, it's about to be over. But that shit was, it definitely changed like our dynamic and our mental focus as a group, though.
Talk about how it changed. Like, you guys lose to the Spurs in the second round.
We got swept, too.
It was ugly. Yeah, I'm aware. I was one of the Clipper fans out there talking hoping y'all was going to pull it up, but it didn't happen. So y'all get swept, and then y'all get Doc Rivers. Talk about how Doc, because I can remember from a fan and a former player standpoint, how that was the first time. I hadn't even been to a game yet, but when he came and he started to cover up the jersey, and just talk about how Doc came in and he changed. Like, he made that next step after CP came and he established something. When Doc came, it took it to a whole nother level. Yeah. Talk about how Doc, he changed
things. Man, I love Doc. Doc came in with a swagger that just was like, nah, fuck that. This is about us. You know, I know we share the same arena, and that's no disrespect to them, no disrespect to their fans, but, like, this our 41 games in here. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that was huge. Like, it pissed a lot of people off, but at the same time, we ain't, you know, he ain't care, we ain't care. And Doc really, I think, I give him a lot of credit to this day, because I think that he was one of the first guys who, coaching-wise, really was like, I'm going to let you play through your mistakes. Don't look over here when you mess up. I'm not taking you out. Just play.
Yeah.
And he gave me the, like, okay. Because, like, obviously it's Chris and Blake. They're the all-stars of the team, and I knew that. I knew, like, my job was this. But he was the first guy who was like, oh, no, no, we ain't got a big two. We got a big three. And I'm like, big three? Yeah. Where? Like, who? Oh, me? Oh, shit, okay, bet, you know? And he was like, no, this is what we're doing. This is our three guys. Because at that point in time, every team wanted a big three, you know? And he was the first guy to kind of promote that with all three of us and just give me the confidence to go out there and excel. And I think that that helped me individually as a player, as a man, but also, like, our group to kind of, like, oh, no, we should be expecting this out of ourselves and not just a first-round exit or just making the playoffs. We want to win a championship, and that was his and our aspiration when he came.
I remember how that changed, and it turned into a big three. But how was it for, like, not only your team but the league to start appreciating what you brought to the table?
Man, it was huge, man, because, like, the league is obviously a scoring league, you know what I mean? But there are some guys, like – Marcus Camby, Ben Wallace, guys like that who put their name
have
on
a
defense.
Different impact, yeah.
And, you know, Doc always talked about being a star in your role. You know what I mean? Like, DJ can't, everybody can't score 30. Everybody can't take 30 shots. But you can go out there and get 20 rebounds. You can go out there and get 4 blocks. You can go out there and have a huge impact on the game without just scoring.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, whatever this role is, I'm going to try to make sure that nobody else is better than me at this.
Exactly.
And at that point, it was rim running, setting picks, rolling to the basket, and being a great defender and rebounder. And when I started to see, like, the benefits come from that, I was like, okay, shit, I don't need to be pissed if they ain't throwing me the ball in the post. Like, I can get it some, you know, another way. Like, it took off after that. My confidence was high, and I started to realize, like, hey, you know what? If you set a screen and roll hard to the basket, like, you probably going to get the ball anyway, you know?
Tell me this. So y'all win, you know, for the Clippers, which is huge. Y'all get 57 wins, franchise record. You know what I'm saying? Y'all beat the Warriors in the first round. Then a Donald Sterling tape drop. like what the fuck? Like, tell me where you were, like, and just, like, how it came to you. And then when you got with the team, like, tell me how all that played out for you.
Man, I think it was game. It was in the playoffs for sure. But we was on the road. And we had a meeting before, and Doc was like, hey, tomorrow some stuff go come out about Sterling, you know? And, you know, but it's some bullshit, you know? Don't even worry about that. We focus on beating the Warriors.
Right.
And we laughing about it, because we, like, at this point, we don't know what's the severity of the situation, you know? And I'm like, man, this dude probably got caught with some girl or something.
Right.
You know, like, we all thinking about what you think is going to happen, you know?
Right.
The next morning, you know, the group chat is going crazy. So I'm like, man, what's this? I'm scrolling back up. I'm like, oh, it's the audio. Boom, I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, this is not what I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? And, like, the shit that he was saying, obviously, you know, everybody in the world has heard it at this point, but it was kind of like, damn, like, that's...
This is
you
wild.
You know who you got on your team? You know, right. you know, like, at that point, I think it was only, like, J.J. Redick, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was the only white dude on the team. That's my guy, so I love him.
Yeah, shout out
but,
J.J.
Yeah, shout out J.J., but, like, when we went to the shoot-around meeting the next morning, the energy was just fucked in there, you know? And I'm the type of player, my you could see it on me
right.
the whole time. So Doc like, DJ, what's going on? I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to play, man. Like, fuck this dude. I don't know. I'm cool on this.
Yeah.
So JJ is like, whatever you guys want to do, like, I'm with you guys.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? He's with the team.
Like, I'm whatever y'all want to do. And, you know, Doc really, he gave us one of his speeches, like, and he was like, man, when y'all made it to the NBA, when y'all was dreaming, y'all wanted to win the championship, y'all want to win it for an owner, y'all wanted to win it for your teammates, and And we was like, our teammates tell you, he's like, well, so fuck this guy. We go win for ourselves. And we was like, all right, cool, bet.
Yeah.
So before the game, I'm like, man, we either go beat the shit out of the Warriors or they go beat the shit out of us. It ain't gonna be a close game. Yeah. And they beat the shit out of us that night.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that's how I went. And then we ended up winning in seven. And then, you know, everything after that happened. And we got Steve Ballmer. He's a great guy. And he really cares about the team. But that situation was just top to bottom was crazy, bro.
Making all defensive team and all NBA. When you seen that across the board, like, how did you feel about that?
I felt like the stuff that I had been doing had finally been, you know.
Appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Cause I was like, I expected to make first team all defense.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I know I'm doing my stuff out here. You know, I'm playing well. I'm, you know. But I remember I was working out back to back days in the summer and they called me and they was like, hey, you made first team all defense. I'm like, oh shit, hell yeah, cool, bet. Talk to my brother, talk to my mom.
Yeah.
The next day I'm in the gym again, the guy called me. He said, hey, you made first team All-NBA too. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like first team All-NBA? He was like, yeah, yeah, you. I'm like, oh, shit. And that's when I was like, okay, like, this shit is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially with the bigs that we had at the league, in the league playing at such a high level at that time, like Marc Gasol, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, like, yeah. We guys like who was balling, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was something that I really appreciated, and I didn't take that for granted at all. And I was like, okay, I got to continue to be dominant on both ends of the floor.
Everybody feel like the Clippers had a championship squad.
Yeah.
Them years. Like, all y'all was all-stars, like, y'all making all these teams. What do you feel that y'all didn't get over the hump?
Man, I could name a couple different things, but I think for one, it was, and this is no excuse, but I think we caught the injury bug a ton.
Yeah,
definitely.
And that shit,
yeah,
it sucks. You can't do nothing about it because it's out of your control. Yeah. You know? Like, small things, though, you know, like Blake knee, CP wrist, you know, it was just like, just stupid shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that kind of hurt a little bit. But I also think when you're younger as a player, ego definitely is a big factor, you know. And when you get older, you don't think about that shit. You just like, man, I just want to win a chip. You know what I'm saying? Regardless if I play a ton, if I shoot a ton, if I score, it don't matter. Like, because this is a bigger goal. But I think I'm sure I'm guilty of this at times, like one more during the postseason. But like, as long as our score is higher than theirs, that shit really don't matter.
Straight up. You
so I think
that,
you know, some of us were definitely affected with that. But when you get older, you can't get that shit back. So,
Let me ask you this. That lob dunk that you got on, do they send that shit to you every day?
You're not going to do that. I'm glad you stopped at the dunk. We ain't got to do that. Everybody know who you're talking about. You ain't got to say his name.
Okay. All right. Do they send that shit to you every day? I know they just send it to you every day. Like, man, look at this.
Like you see that. I had no intentions of throwing you under the bus.
I didn't know the questions. You out living your life peacefully,
chilling, or doing whatever you doing. You like, got nothing to do with this.
NBA history. They showing that shit on commercials, all sorts of shit.
That shit was crazy. And I think at the time, like.
Time out. You ain't completely guilt-free because you made a little face. You knew what you did when you done what you done.
That was y'all boy L.O. who made L.O. made the face at me first. And I just was like, yeah, you right. Like, that shit was crazy. You know what I mean? Like, and originally, like, I tell this story all the time. Like, I dunked the ball. I heard a boom. And I'm like, damn. So I'm looking down about to check on him, and then CP pushed me, and I just black out after that.
Then you walk off.
Time out. What are you, like, that's cool, but what are you, because, like, you in a different generation from when he was booming on motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, we went home, and we talked about it or whatever. Like, you got immediately to the locker room, and your whole social media, like, what was that like to see the creations that was being created, the things, they were like, it was getting real creative.
It was crazy. Like, they throwing coffins on the shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, damn, like, You like, damn, that was a crazy
they
play.
But
you
also videos like, and everything. You know? Was that like the most you probably been like trending ever on your whole career? Yeah.
Like, that's still not stopping to this day.
Nah, nah. Some dude got the tattoo of my face. Yeah, it was weird. Like, we did a meet and greet sign thing. He was like, yo, I got the tattoo. And I'm like, what? Show me. I'm like, yo, that's why I wouldn't have done that. But like, but it was funny because at that time, like, I was very nervous to go to the free throw line. You know what I'm saying? And I made the free throw. So my brother texted me after the game. He was like, man, I'm just happy you made the fucking free throw. it was funny, man. It was good.
Take me back to the 2015 offseason, man. You done verbally agreed to Cube. You done told Cube, I'm coming.
Yeah.
4 years, 80, which is that's a dump truck,
bag.
By the way, you know. Congratulations on that sidebar, you know what I'm saying? But like, when, where, how did your Clippers teammates descend down
nah,
on
you
in your
doing
Houston,
that.
Your H-Town home, find out where you living, where you were, and pull up? Like, how, what was you doing? Did you know they was coming? Did they just, like, catch you off guard? Like, how did all this happen?
Nah.
And then held you captive. Did they really have the doors locked up?
They held me hostage in my own crib.
So, please.
That's what I was like.
Just play it back. Tell me from your perspective how this went down.
Man, so, you know, we beat Golden State that year. Or no, we beat San Antonio that year.
Right.
We go up 3-1 on the Rockets. They come back and beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, damn, man, maybe we ain't got enough. We ain't, you know, we ain't been through this shit before. Like, I want to try something new, you know. I commit to Dallas, you know, and at this point you got like a week or so before you can sign, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, man, I ain't even called Doc. That's my guy. I need to tell him. So I'm at home in Houston. My phone ring, it's Doc. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm gonna tell my brothers, I'm like, yo, look. My brother's like, don't answer that. Like, I'm like, nah, I gotta answer. I gotta talk to my guy, man. So I answer, I'm like, yo, what up, Doc? He's like, yo, man, you know, took me a couple days to process, but you know, I just wanted to congratulate you and, you know, honestly just tell you that, you know, I think we still got some unfinished business. And I'm like, yeah, I feel you, man. Like, but I just think I need a new challenge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, man, but, you know, I think we still could get it done here. And I'm like, I feel you. I already told these people I'm coming. I can't tell them I'm not going. And he goes, well, if you did, we had your back. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I already told these people I'm coming, you know? And he was like, well, just give me an hour and I'll call you back. I'm like, all right, cool. The whole conversation went so fast, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay.
All right, that went well.
So Blake called me. Like 30 minutes later, he's like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. What you mean? What's going on? He said,
you
well,
know.
He said, well, I just got off the phone with Doc. We coming to Houston. And I said, whoa. Why? And he was like, well, I don't know. He said, you may be coming back. And I'm like, oh, she said, but I'm going to come tonight, though. So I called my mom. I'm like, hey, like, I think Doc and them coming out here. She said, for what?
And I was
Doc and them. Yeah, I think Doc and them coming out here. And she was like, what you mean? And I was like, I don't know. And she said, what, they trying to get you to come back? And I was like, well, I ain't left yet. And she goes, oh, shit.
And she
already knew what was going on.
That's why she said,
She said, oh, shit. She said, them people in Dallas, they'll kill you. And I was like, fuck, yeah. So be over here tomorrow so we can meet with him.
Look, I need you, mama. Mama, I need you. Like, yes, you just said it, so be here.
She was crazy, man. So they came and we talked about a ton of stuff, man. And Paul Pierce came and I had never even met him before. Like, he was, you know, he had just signed with us.
That's
like,
right.
Yo, DJ, you need to come back, man.
Did
we need
with
you.
And I'm like, did he come with the?
Yeah, I'm like, he's like, I love you, people. I'm like, I don't even know you. Like that. You know, but like, he it
who was
cool.
The group? Who was the whole
group?
It
was Steve Ballmer, Doc, Chris, the equipment manager who I was super close with. They had him, you know, Matias.
Yeah.
They had him come out, you know, so that was funny but weird, you know. And then, because they were like, man, we need anybody who knows
right,
DJ to get it, you know.
Try to get it done.
And they bought the contract dude. So when he came, he just set up in the dining room, set up and started typing up shit. I'm like, okay, like, damn. So we talked, whatever. So ultimately, it's like, okay, cool, I'm staying. Oh, and JJ was there. So then I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I'm dabbing everybody up, man. All right, cool. I'll see y'all in a couple days. I'm going to go on vacation with my family. I'll see y'all, man. And Paul Pierce and Armand Hill go outside. They smoking cigars. I'm like, yo, what y'all, well, you know, I think y'all about to leave, you know? And Paul like, oh, no, no, no. Doc not leaving until you sign.
Like, this ain't just as long as we like, here. Nah,
I said, no, don't worry, bro. Like, you know, it's going to be midnight, 11, 12, New York time. I'm going to sign at 11 in Houston. They're like, nah, we didn't give it to you, son.
They ain't playing with you. So
I'm like, all right, so we ordered a whole bunch of grub. We ordered a whole bunch of food. And like at 11:01, I signed, then they left.
Getting any calls from Dallas in between that time? Like, what was that like?
That made me feel like an asshole for sure.
Yeah.
Because you know, now you didn't meet, you didn't rehash with the guys and everything is jolly. But you like, damn, I'm cool. I did, you know, still hold
like,
that
yeah,
up.
I'm like, damn, like, you know, I'm like, damn, I told Chandler and Dirk and these dudes I'm coming. And they calling me, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm cool. Like,
real Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, because I'm like, it was nothing against them, but I'm like, I knew I wasn't leaving.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So
I'm
like, I
didn't want
to get on the phone with them and like.
Bullshit them.
Yeah, you know, so I was like, man, I'm going to just, you know, we obviously the NBA, we played Dallas first game of the season next year, you know what I'm saying? So that was a real emotional game
for everybody.
You just
clip at heart, man. So I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with it.
So it is what it is. It was fun.
When you get your first All-Star appearance, how was that for you when you heard that?
That shit was crazy. It was just like being first team All-NBA, you know. It still was weird, like, being first team All-NBA the year before and then not making the All-Star team.
Right.
That was weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That was, yeah. The next year, I was like, okay, I got to make it.
You were for sure now.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I got to make it now, you know. So I got the call from our media people, and they told me, and I immediately got on the phone, called my mom, my brothers, and they was like, oh, shit, we in New Orleans, let's go, you know? But that, I think, was like, damn, man, I'm really doing this shit with my career. Like, I'm really, I saw the steps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I'm like, man, I don't know if I can excel, like, and do the things that I did throughout my career by just playing defense and rebounding, Doc. I don't know if I can get there with that. And that was like a selfish younger player talking, but once I bought into that shit, you know, I started to see everything kind of benefit.
I know they always bring up Lob City. Do you, like, are you really kind of really feeling the impact that y'all had on LA and the Clippers? Because, you know, when we was here, it's such a dominant Laker town.
Yeah.
For you to get any looks
recognition,
this way,
yeah, yeah,
it's a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think we changed culture with the Clippers just like y'all did. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was times where me and Blake was running down the court doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like, man, especially when LO got there, you know, he was like, y'all don't know shit about that. We was like, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. You know what I'm saying? But it was cool to be able to have those experiences. And we would always talk about, like, if Laker fans telling us, fuck y'all ain't shit, we doing something good. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, because before, y'all
they
wasn't saying that to us.
They didn't care to say nothing to
exactly.
You.
Exactly. So I think that we definitely helped change the Clipper culture, like, you know, doing the things that we did. But, like, not winning a championship, I thought would, like, haunt me forever with the Clippers. But honestly, it hasn't, because I know, like, the shit that we did was great there.
So all that happened with Dallas and –
and I still went back there.
How did that happen?
And I still went there. You know what's crazy? Like, the Clippers obviously started to, like, break up. And at that point, I didn't have an agent. I didn't have an agent for, like, maybe 5 years or so.
Yeah.
I needed advisement because I'm like, okay, well, I can't negotiate a trade for myself, you know. So they was kind of like, hey, like, we doing this with the team, so, you know, you need some representation. So I ended up hiring Jeff Schwartz. And after, you know, the Clippers was done, he was like, hey, Dallas is interested. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You know, he's like, no, I'm serious. And I'm like, come on, Jeff, stop playing. What teams we got?
Yeah.
He's, no, I'm telling you, Dallas, and they have no hard feelings about the situation. I'm like, nah, I don't believe that. Like, Dirk's still there, Cuban's still there. Like, them dudes definitely hate me. Like, it's not going down. You know?
Yeah.
He was like, no, nah, I'll get, you know. So we talked. Whatever, and they was both like, no, it's not, we know, we're past that, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, well, shit. You know, it was a great option at the time. You know, they had a really good young core and drafted Luka.
Mm-hmm.
They had Harrison Barnes, Dirk, Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr. Yeah. They had guys, you know. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll go. Cool, whatever. they ended up trading my ass like in January. But I had a good time down there. Like, they welcomed me with open arms, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so I was like, yeah. I was at the games.
Shame you on you.
No.
I have to put you in the same bag.
We're going
to
delete that out. Don't worry about
nah,
the
that
Cowboys.
Needs to make it because that fake ass America's team needs to be like.
People hate me hating on our rings. I don't understand.
What rings? When?
What you a Bears fan?
Fucking right.
Oh my gosh.
Don't be disrespectful.
Come on now.
At least our fans have sense. We sensible. Y'all think y'all about to win this shit
every year.
We don't win it this year. We got a beer. We let our team beer. You motherfuckers running around every year. That's why I love. That's the one thing. Listen, that's the one thing Stephen A. don't miss on. Stephen A. don't miss when he gets to talk about them damn Cowboys.
We confident in our team,
man. Get on my nerve about just as much. You, Kmart, J-O-D, right, all of you. Go on ahead on. They all in the same barrel. Ain't none of them from Dallas, but they Dallas Cowboys. Man, you got a whole Houston Texas team.
The Texans ain't come to. I was like a sophomore in high school.
So what?
I couldn't be a Tennessee Titans fan.
Listen,
that was not happening.
I see. Damn. What was your first impression of Luka?
I thought Luka was super skilled, bro. Like, he saw the court and he was just, he didn't, like, his game, like, he didn't let the NBA speed him up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was a big body, so he knew how to footwork. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the most athletic, but he know. And he's almost like a guard Z-Bo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Z-Bo,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Z-Bo wasn't, like, the quickest. He didn't jump the highest. He had a quick second jump, and he knew angles.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of what Luka has excelled on, man.
How did you feel when you got a chance to go sign with Brooklyn, and you, like, did you think, like, okay,
I'm about to win a ring.
Like, KD, yeah. Kyrie, like, this is my moment. This is my chance to really get one. Like, how did that feel going to join that team and, like, what you thought they were building up over there?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, the plan was to, you know, go play with your boys and win a ring and do it the way you wanted to do it. And it was fun. Like, the years there were super fun, but, like, you know, injuries, coaching changes, things like that. You know, like shit thrown at you that you couldn't just get over. But like, I don't regret that situation because I was able to like go play with guys that I consider friends and like, you know, build with them and do something that like we chose to do.
Fans don't always understand that. Like, I talk about my time in New York a lot. We didn't win really nothing, but like, you know what I'm saying? And in LA, you know what I'm saying? We didn't make the playoffs, but like, those two cities, I played the longest of my career in four years each, and I got more relationships and friends and bonds and different things. Like, yeah, we didn't fucking, like, tear it down and win the championship, but, like, bro, I spent a lot of time there, and, like, those was my partners. Like, we came in, we experienced and learned different. They don't understand, like, well, how could you say that was some of your best times? It's like, bro, them was some of the, like, especially in L.A., because that's the first. You never get a first back. Like, I experienced all type of stuff with him, Corey, Keon, Hello, that you can never get back a second time. And it's even though shit didn't go right to y'all and everybody else, like, bro, this was a once-in-a-lifetime situation that I would have never got to do, with, like you say, with some partners.
Yeah, like in my heart, I'll always be a Clipper, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was there the first 10 years of my career. Mm-hmm. You know, I built relationships with teammates, with coaches, with, you know, people in the arena, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so when I even go back there, I still see people that I'm close with, so that shit was, like, I think, like, at this point, you know, after winning the championship, I'll forever be a Nugget, too, but, like, that shit, you don't forget. Like, the first couple years you didn't make the playoffs, whatever. Like, those experiences, those stories, that shit is forever.
You was in the gym with KD and Kyrie coming out of practice. Did you ever come in practice and just look around like, man, look at these two motherfuckers right here? Like, what was you thinking when you looking at them two? Like, I'm really on the team with these two dudes and these two motherfuckers is crazy. Yeah.
Just being, like, when that big three shit was forming, like, even with the Clippers, like, just to see Blake and Chris work on their craft and work on their game, the way JJ would work, it was just, like, it's crazy. But then when I got to Brooklyn, seeing them dudes who can put up 50 every night if they want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the stuff that they deal with the basketball, like, how they work, like, everything during practice was full speed working an individual. So then when they got in the game, it was just, you know, KD already 7 feet tall, you know? So
that's when
he shoot the ball, it's like, you know.
You don't even see you.
Kyrie doing crazy layups. So then when they get in the game, like, oh, I ain't got to put it that high off the glass. I can put it here, level three. You still not getting it.
Yeah.
So just to see, like, them dudes, like, perfect their craft over and over and over again. And then when James got there, I'm like, there's no way. If I'm with the Clippers, I'm like, there's no way in my career would I play with Kyrie, KD, and James on the same team. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
For that to actually happen, it's just like, wow, like, three MVP caliber players on one team. It just it was crazy. Like, so just to be able to see, you know, them play ones or shooting competitions, like, you was there all day.
Yeah.
Because they weren't missing. So that was cool to see.
How does it feel to be called world champion DeAndre?
Champ.
Man.
Jordan,
champ. Right?
Like, actually, it's the cherry on top.
For the rest of your life, man, they got to call you champ.
Take that exactly.
So, like, how did that feel?
That shit still, sometimes it don't feel real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll go back and, like, watch the videos and look at the pictures, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, that feeling is crazy, bro. Yeah. Like, all type of emotions came up for me at that time. Like, I got in game five and, like, I made a couple impacts on the game. Yeah. And, like, it was cool to be able to have that experience and, like, especially with guys like Jeff Green and Ish Smith and
Ishmael.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's guys that, like, have been around the league and put their work in, and, like, guys who, like, you know, bounced around the league for a little bit, you know, like Aaron Gordon and KCP and guys who really had to, like, Jamal and Michael had to work through injuries and shit. So we had a team of fighters, I feel like. So, like, and I'm thinking about, you know, the last 20 seconds of the game. I'm supposed to be thinking about the game and finishing the game, but I'm thinking about all those years of losing early in the playoffs, guys getting hurt.
So you had that flashback your whole career man, just came in front
and
of
And then, you know, my brother's like, man, you gonna cry if y'all win that shit? I'm like, hell no. Nah. Like, I'm gonna be happy, you know what I'm saying? But, like, whatever you say is gonna happen, that's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just every ounce of emotion came out at that time.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm glad it did because I needed to feel that. I wanted to appreciate that, and it helped me appreciate that moment even more, though.
How was it for you getting that? Like, you know, we all watch it year after year after year after year. Like, champions, then they go in the locker room, and then they put the goggles, and they doing, like, how was that to get that champagne shower?
Man. My hair smelled like champagne and cigar smoke for, like, 2 weeks. And I really didn't care. I love that shit. I wake up in the morning like, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's like, yeah, like that. Because it was like a nostalgic feeling, like, and we tore that fucking locker room up. You know what
I'm
saying?
And how was the city, like, right? I'm talking about, like, not the parade, even that, because I remember seeing AG
saying
that he got out because he couldn't even drive home. Yeah. He got out with the clothes, with the jersey shirt on. Like, how was it for you, like, leaving the arena that night and going, like how was it?
I didn't leave the arena until, like, 1:30, 2 in the morning.
Just so, partying.
Yeah. So it was, I'm soaking all of this. I'm not going nowhere. Up. Like, they're going to have to kick me out of here. You know what
I mean?
Because it was, I'm like, I need to experience this to the fullest. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was,
like,
there for your family, bro.
Amazing.
Just had your family there.
Amazing.
Just to experience that.
I told Wifey, I'm like, hey, bedtime may not be a thing tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, they got to come to the game. Like, my youngest was maybe, like, 13 months at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had strict bedtime with him, you know, but I'm like, but my oldest was 7 and I'm like, nah, they coming to the game, you know what I mean?
It's family.
So I'm like, I'll never know if, you know, it took 15 years to get there. You never know if you go get there again, you know? So I'm like, I need everybody here. My whole family was there. My wife's family was there. So that shit was just, I needed every experience possible that night.
What was the dopest part of the actual parade? Because that's something that we see, you know, I'm from Chicago, so I grew up, I
parade
got to see
city.
Six
yeah,
of them things,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Grant Park, you know, shout out. Like, what was it like for you to sit out there and, you know, first to do the whole parade, and then when you get there and you see you done rolled through and saw the thousands and thousands of albums, and then you get to that one point where y'all on that stage and it's just a sea
flooded.
Of endless people.
It was hundreds of thousands.
What
of
is that
like
to
that,
feel
man.
Like to see that and they all there to celebrate y'all bringing something to the city that ain't been done?
Ever. Like, that shit was crazy. Like, I've always, like, looked at pictures and from parades and stuff, watched parades watched some of the parades that, you know, I was involved in the playoffs and I'm kind of like,
sad day.
Damn, like, look at that. You know, watching the ring ceremony, shit like that. So, the parade was everything you could imagine, bro, but more. Like, going out there, seeing them people, like, peeking behind the curtain, like, don't go out. We like, man, I got to see this shit.
Right.
Like, you know, just seeing the floods of people, like, waiting on us to come out. Like, Denver, like, the fans out there, crazy, man. Like, they really, really care about the team. And, like, you know, snow, sun, it don't matter. They was at all the games, you know what I'm saying? And like, that Mile High advantage, that shit is real, you know what I mean? And I appreciate those fans. It was there for us this year.
What finger you chose? You chose the middle finger?
Middle finger, you know it. You already did. Yeah, what? He's a basketball player. He know what finger you going with your ring. Like, come on, man. I'm my first, you know where I'm going with it. So, yeah, you guys will see it in October 24th.
So, hey. Joe, you got a... opportunity to see Joker all year. Yeah. Front row seat of Joker. That step back off the wrong leg, that's naturally.
Yeah. He shoot that like it looked unorthodox, but it's like, it's almost like him shooting a layup.
What you see in him when you like, cause you a center.
Yeah.
You know? And you played that position so long. Mm-hmm. Like, what you see from this year that you was just like, damn, he fucking everybody up he running into?
Man, his footwork is crazy. His touch is crazy. But what's even crazier is that, like, he not doing nothing emphatic out there. Like, he not dunking crazy. He not blocking shit. But he, like, you look up, you like, damn, y'all got 40 and 17 and 12.
Right.
Like, I know he scored a couple times, but, like, everything he does is big, but it's also quiet, if that kind of makes sense. Like, he not out there doing...
Soft.
Yeah, yeah, like, he like, boom, boom, slow roll, boom, oh, pump fake, you went, boom, layup. You know, I'm going to get a couple tip-in rebounds, and he going to make the right basketball play every time.
Yeah.
You know, in the finals, we like, yo, go score. You got to go get a bucket. He's like, no, fuck that. You know, I got to make... This is the right play. Let's just play basketball the right way.
Right.
And, like, to see your best player... Be like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not gonna force a shot. If they double me, cool. One of y'all cut.
Yeah.
Mike be ready to shoot. Like, he make the right basketball play every time. And you want to play with a person like that.
You a rarity in the fact that you didn't play with some of the all time greats.
Hell
like,
yeah.
And you didn't been able to, like, because it's one thing to, you know, play against people, see them play or whatever. But when you get that rare privilege to be every day, I see how this dude work. I see the best of him in practice and training. I done seen stuff that they don't get to see him do in the real games.
Yeah.
It's like more consistent. Like, talk about, like, you done had Luka, you done had CP, Blake, you done had KD, Kyrie, now you got Jokic, you know what I'm saying? Murray, you know, like, talk about what you've seen in them dudes from them practices that separate them and make them as great as they are.
I think all of those guys are great players in their own way, but they're very different. I think what is unique and the same about all of those guys is they're masters at their craft. You know what I'm saying? Like, the crazy layups you see Kai make, the one leg fadeaways you see KD make, the crazy step backs you see Jamal make, the crazy floaters and shit that Nikola makes, like, they work on that shit in practice.
Yeah.
Before practice, after practice, like, they working on them crazy shots. Like, I've seen Jamal work on a one leg falling out of bounds, three-pointer. Like, I'm like, why are you working on that shot? He goes, you never know. You know what I'm saying?
But I've seen him take
some
crazy,
you know, time winding out.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't switch them bitches. And I'm like, damn, like, he may take 400 of them shots to work on during the season, and then one could help us win a game or win a playoff series. So those guys really work on their craft.
Let me ask you this. Do you know you the NBA's all-time leader in field goals?
Yeah.
So, you know, every time you shoot that, we got to get for show.
It's cash. Yeah, it's cash. I'm taking opposite shots regardless.
So, they put you in the game. Don't even play with it.
Nah,
for show.
Yeah, buckets, dunks late.
You got to hold that down because that's going to try to keep that forever.
I'm going to try to keep that forever.
All right. Start bench trade. You got to start one. You got to bench one. You got to trade one. Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins.
Start, bench, trade.
That's not that hard for me.
It's not?
No.
It's not?
All in their prime?
Yep.
All in their prime?
Yes.
Okay.
Start, bench, trade. Damn. I know one of them going to text me and cuss me out.
They all his homies.
Yeah. Start, bench, trade. All in their prime. All in their prime. Fuck. This is tough. All right. Start, I'm going to go with AD.
Okay.
Bench, I'm going to go with Cuz.
I am surprised.
Me too.
I'm starting Dwight.
I'm
starting Dwight.
Why?
What you mean?
I'm just asking because the reason why I started AD because I know he's going to give me offense and defense. Just like Dwight.
Dwight was getting 20 plus, but he
but
shot a whole
shooting though, too, though.
I don't care about shooting. He made it where it didn't matter if he shot or not. He shut the whole shit down. Completely down.
Yes, I agree with you.
Down. And everybody was scared. Everybody was altering and changing how they, man, I respect your opinion. I'm just humbly saying what I would have done.
Who you benching
there? Man, look, I'm starting Dwight. I'm benching AD, and then I'm trading Boogie.
That's a tough call anyway, bro.
Like, it's a tough call, but I got to say
I'm thinking about the shit
say.
That Boogie was doing at SAC. Like, he was the, like,
I'm not your never boy. Disrespecting.
It ain't
like,
no
you
wrong,
talking
guys.
About the total body of work. I'm not disrespecting the other two dudes right. That championship right. Belt. So I'm not disrespecting Boogie. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not devil. I love his game and respect him to the fullest, and he was a monster. Every situation's cut his shit short. But I'm just saying, like, when you look at the body of work, like, first of all, Dwight gets short cut because of whatever people want to do.
Of course.
Bro, I was part of that time.
No, I had to guard Dwight, so I'm
the
knowing.
The boy did what he did. He would have had, if he was supposed to have four straight, they just didn't like him no more. They was mad at how he was, what was going on. He should have had four, and nobody ever had four. Everybody had three, he should have had four in a row. They didn't give him the fourth one because of other stuff, not because of the court.
Yeah.
Man, please.
I'm thinking, like, because I didn't have to guard these dudes, so I'm thinking, like, okay, cool, Dwight, like, I know I got to guard him in the post. But with them dudes, like, they get it off the rebound, pushing it.
They do a lot
of you know
more
what I'm
stuff.
Saying? Like, so I'm thinking about, I'm like, all over
ain't
the court.
No wrong answer. But that's Q just, ain't no wrong answer, you know.
I say that to say that's how dominant he really was. The
no, they was all
do
dominant,
that,
though.
He still get put there with me.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. I feel it. You. I feel you.
Proceed.
If you had to pick four other teammates out of all the teammates you'd have had in the NBA, you had a lot of them.
Yeah.
You had to pick four other teammates to run a five with you. Who would be the four other teammates?
Ooh, damn. That's tough.
He got some shit, too. He going to have one of them teams, too. He's up there. We got, every answer is a lot. We going to put, like, a bracket together, see who had a coach. D-Wright, and I'm interested to hear what you had, too, because D-Wright had some sleeper shit.
Damn, that's crazy. Okay, I'm going to go me at the five.
Right.
Damn. See, this is tough. I'm putting KD at the three, so
that's done.
Four, I'm trying to decide if I want to go
Dirk,
Blake, AD.
Joker.
Damn, Nikola. Like, that's AD. Tough. Unless I just go full Monstars and just go four-footers and CP, you know?
However you want.
All right, so I'm going to go me at the five.
It's crazy right here.
Nikola at the four.
Damn. It's crazy already.
KD at the three. Kyrie at the two. And CP at the point.
I forgot about Kyrie. He didn't put Luke in it.
Yeah, he put Luke. That's a
Luke
five, though.
Some shit.
Yeah, that's a five.
Okay. Tell me, when did you become vegan? I heard about you got a whole garden in your deer. You don't look vegan, by the way, because I be confused by people that say they vegan. I don't know what to think.
Well, how you look skinny, if you vegan, though?
Because some people be real skinny. Some people be regular fat people that's like, whatever, like I'm vegan. I thought if you was vegan, you was supposed to be slim thugging. It's like, you know what I'm just saying? Bro. I don't know what to think. I'm not trying to be an expert. I'm just talking about how he got on his vegan journey and, like, you know, he got a whole guard. We know he different type of risk.
So you supposed to see a person and say, oh, you vegan.
You vegan.
No, bro, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. This is what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm ignorant to the whole situation. That's why I'm saying I didn't know what to think. Like, when the first person I saw it with, I was like, you vegan? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's one of my partners. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what you talking about? Like, I thought that meant you was going to be around here looking, you know what I'm saying? Like DeAndre, you know? Like, so how did you get into the vegan? Like, I heard you got a whole, you got a cooking show. Like, what?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the food? You're from Houston. You're from the South.
When I called my mom, I was like, hey, I'm doing this vegan thing. She was like,
your mom did?
I called my grandma and my mom. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this little thing, this vegan thing. You know, I'm gonna just eat plants. And they was like, you sick? What's going on? I'm like, no.
So you can't eat mama cooking no more?
I mean,
Or do nah. she cook vegan
Grandmama,
stuff?
Nah, she not cooking no vegan, nothing. You know
what
I'm saying?
I know she ain't. Like,
nah, but I took her to a couple vegan restaurants. She like, oh, now if I had this, I'd do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but when you tell somebody you're vegan, they initially think all you eat is salad and shit.
Yeah. Bro, that's what I'm saying. I'm ignorant to the fact. I don't know.
But it's like, I mean, it's other stuff out there, but like.
What, cauliflower?
Cauliflower wings, they go. I'm telling you.
Who?
Cauliflower wings.
That ain't.
Look,
Did you just say what he said? Come on, see, my people, y'all even make sense.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
That man just said cauliflower wings.
You get a little cauliflower, you can bake them, you can fry them, you buffalo, boom, you ready to go.
And you call them wings. That's not a wing.
But in my mind, I got to say it's a wing.
No, you lying to yourself, my guy. Don't lie. Don't do that.
Okay, cauliflower wings. But you know what I ate though? I ate the cauliflower pizza.
That's good. With the
whole cauliflower under and
then he a fake vegan. He don't eat steaks and stuff, bro. But he'll like eat, what is it?
I don't eat
lamb,
beef or pork.
Chicken.
Oh, yeah, a little flexitarian. Ain't no wrong with a little flex.
See, that means you
flex.
Weak. That means
flex.
That means you weak.
He makes it on him. You know, that little flex. No. I'm a little flex. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but what is it like?
I mean, like for me, like I do like some of the Beyond Meat stuff, mm-hmm. like pizzas, pastas.
So let me get this straight, right? So you want like I barbecue? I get it.
Yeah.
You one of them people? You gonna tell me you get one of them Beyond burgers, right?
You're not gonna even know.
See, Al Handy tried me like this. Hey, bro, come try this. Remember the little food truck with the Beyond? Bro, there ain't no Beyond burger on the planet that I'm going to sit here and bite into. I don't care how you dress it up and dress it down. I know a real burger and a fake burger.
But you're not eating a fake burger. You're not like, oh, this trash. You still eating No, I'm not.
I don't want it.
You're not telling the crazy difference. Like if they both grilled the same, like
I done ate some. They good.
Solid, yeah.
Yeah, they solid. I ain't disrespecting
man. One of y'all taste palates. I'm telling you what I know. I'm a real one when it comes to this barbecue grilling and.
We ain't talking about barbecue.
Stuff.
We talking about vegan.
I'm not talking about burgers. Like steak, ribs, and stuff.
Let me ask you this. This is a real question. So since you vegan,
wasn't real?
No, it wasn't. Since you vegan,
David Ruffin.
Like how is it on the road? Because a lot of hotels don't serve that. Sometimes you get in kind of late or late night and you don't have too many spots. How is it on the road for you to be
the road sometimes, it's tough. Especially, you know how we get in late sometimes. But like, sometimes I bring some snacks on me.
You got to bring
some plants with them.
Bring a basket full of lunch bags, stuff on me, to get me through. But the team, they do a good job at like making sure the hotel will have some certain stuff on me.
Get you some alternate.
Yeah, they have me in my little alternate stuff.
What you think? Have you seen today the first time we seen Kevin Hart little vegan fast foods?
Oh, like Heartbeat or
Heart
something?
Heart House.
You seen that? You
ever? I ain't never been there, but. You going today?
No, hell no. That wasn't the point I was trying
to. I thought you were saying like you heard, he was trying to go.
Have you heard good things about him?
I haven't been yet. I heard good stuff.
I heard he did a good job.
You should go and just see what they got up in there, though.
Yeah, I heard he did a good job.
I ain't saying go cauliflower wings, but maybe burger.
Cauliflower wings, though.
Do the damn thing.
Nachos.
All that. Whoever doing that, do that. I'm just trying to let you know that's not. I'm not.
You can go like one day a week, like boom.
I'm not going to perpetrate that. That's not what I'm about.
You can go one day a week.
Let me ask you this. We all want to play for Team USA. Mm-hmm. To get the opportunity to play for Team USA, go to Brazil and win that thing.
Where you go?
Brazil. And win that thing. Yeah. How was it, though? Because that's Rio de Janeiro. I know that was like live out there.
Man, we had a good time out there. We had a real good time, man. And I played with some, you know,
you got
great.
A gold medal and a chip, bro.
Great guys.
Your trophy
case looking mighty nice over
it's,
there, boy.
It's solid. After this season ended, it's solid.
Hey, time out. I heard that your style role model was Walt Clyde Frazier.
He's one of them.
That's my man's.
Yeah, he's one of them for sure.
I'm just wondering, how did he become your fashion? When did he become? Did you see him like when you started playing and going to the games?
I'm like, how somebody get away with some cow print pants and like a jacket?
Have you ever spoken to him about his swag?
A couple times, like he was like, man, you know, I just What would I feel? You know what I'm saying?
I'm like,
what
I do, baby.
That way, he go get all that.
Yeah, I saw that. Hold on, cool.
Tell Q about the hat game, man, because he be on my ass about my hat game. And I be like, man, get you a brick. Get you a nice little, you know what I'm saying?
First of all,
we not the hat game, because I be seeing you rocking some nice hats, man.
Listen, come on over to the good side, man. The hat game, that's... I take pride in my hat.
Thank you. I take pride in my hat game,
yeah,
too,
I take
bro.
Pride in my hat.
I'm not about to sit here and listen to this man like he got 50 million hats in here. Like, he got
I
a couple
do.
Little
I got
DJ
like
B nice little
yeah,
fly
hats. Yeah, you got the hats on at the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
I got 15 of them. See, my
like
collection
Bumpy
is
John.
Getting deep.
You know, he got, you know.
My collection is getting deep.
Come on, man.
He said, you'll see you, boy.
Yeah, the hats is where it's at, man. Because you can dress them up, dress them down, any kind of weather you want
to
do.
You need to get on board.
You halfway there right now with the bucket.
Yeah, he bald head anyway. You know, he might as well cover that.
I'd be damned
up.
If I'm about to listen to D Miles about the damn fashion shit. He round here got you gassing about some hat.
Come on, man.
Hey, we be going to.
You got a hat case?
He got a little hat case coming.
Yeah, hat case.
Yeah, you can fit a couple. You can fit two or three in there. Wear
you know
one.
That.
You ready to go?
Yeah. He be like, man, you looking like Bumpy Johnson. I'm like, bro, what you talking about?
Every time you come out, I think about either D-Nice, I call him DJ D-Nice, or either Bumpy or Spanky Johnson.
He be hating on me.
My man life like very well connected. Woo!
My hat game, buddy, man. Say, hey, that man be looking good in this hat, man. Nice brim. You know what I'm saying? You wild, boy.
I'm done with him. Between the vegan stuff and the hat, I can't deal with this. Let me get back to my H-Town native, man. Listen, one of the questions I love to ask is when, you know, we all come from humble beginnings. We know you took care of mom and the fam.
You know, when you got,
when
that,
you got
contract.
That baggage claim, what did you do for Dre? Did you say, I'm about to goddamn go, I'm about to do this? And you, probably now, you know, when we get older, we look back like, it was dumb as hell. But in that moment, it was everything. What did you splurge on yourself for? And what did you do?
I went back home and went to the club.
Oh, okay. You
right
want to use the
crazy
pop.
Yeah,
you bought the bar out?
Because, you know, I was like, this is, you know, I see this. This is what I want to do.
Get
you know
back
what I'm saying?
People,
like, you know, I went back, you know. And at that point in time, bottles was very, very cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
so
now,
it was like now he's like, oh, you want tequila? 800,000, you know. But back then it's, oh, you want the Patron? Oh, 150.
200, 300.
200. I'm like, oh, let's go. You know, so I think it was, I mean, I got a car right away. I got a car right away.
Yeah.
But then I went to the club one weekend back home in Houston, and I was like, everybody come out. Like, this is what we doing. You know, and I,
party
not smart,
people.
But it was fun in that moment, though.
Yeah. What made you make the decision to go back to school?
I got real interested in meditation and Buddhism, and it wasn't nothing going on during COVID. Couldn't golf every day. That was not, I was, you know, I would have not liked it as much. So I was, like, you know, I started looking at schools to, because we didn't know how long we was going to be out. So I looked at schools that had the programs that I was interested in, and one had it that was a real prestigious school, and they had an online program. And I took a summer school class, and I, you know, did the interview process, got accepted, and I've been in school there for 3 years now.
Yeah. Tell us about, you know, the meditation and when you decided to go through that process.
Yeah.
Started meditating and...
Yeah. Honestly, I started meditating, like, in... Seriously, like, you know, we do those abroad trips before the season, like you go to China, so you visit temples and, you know, meditate with the monks and stuff. So, like, I was like, damn, like, this is cool. And I learned about Buddhism. It wasn't like, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. Like, it was just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of like, hey, just be the best D Miles, be the best Q Rich you could be, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I rock with that, you know? But I really started taking it seriously when I... decommitted from Dallas and I went back to the Clippers.
Because,
you know, at that age, you reading stuff about yourself and it's just like, oh, this guy's an asshole. He's a piece of shit. Da, da, da. So I'm like, damn, like, is that really who I am as a person? Like, damn, I, you know, I this just basketball. I ain't know I'm, you wishing this upon me? Like, that's kind of, you know. So I really got into meditation then just to kind of like have a separation from basketball. And I got into it then and it's just become a part of my everyday life, my practice. And the school I'm in right now at Brown, they got a program that offers that, and it's been a part of my journey, so it's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me this, like, you've been in the league for a long time now. You didn't watch basically the eras kind of change and evolve into something else. How do you feel about what you're looking at, you know, while you out there it still being a part of the game from where you came in to where it was? It's a lot more positionless, you know, free form shooting and guys getting up and down. Like, how do you feel about being part of that league and how it's looking?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when I first came in, it was a lot of cross five, turn five, post up. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and at that point, and it's no disrespect to a lot of the guys out here now who are really playing some great basketball. It's like if you was a stretch five or a stretch four, at that point you was considered soft and you wasn't playing.
Weak.
You know what I'm saying? So right. Like, but now to see that kind of change and like you said, it's positionless and the game is more flow and it's artistic and guys are just doing all kinds. It's no positions. Guys are doing some crazy stuff with the basketball out there, which is cool to see, but it definitely has changed the positions. But I'm sure at some point it'll change back. You know what I mean?
But guess what? Cool. All that means is your field goal percentage will still stay all time.
Keep shooting them jump shots.
So, hey, let them keep on shooting all them threes and all this stuff being big men.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Like, I enjoyed it. So it's fun.
Well, that's a wrap, man. We appreciate you pulling up, man. We got the NBA champ.
World champ.
Yeah, world champ. DeAndre Jordan in the building, live on location with the guys. I want to thank y'all for your continued support of the Knuckleheads Podcast. Be sure to give us 2 taps by writing a review and rating 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on the Players Tribune YouTube page. Follow us on social media at Knuckleheads Podcast. And join our Knuckleheads Facebook group for exclusive content. Thanks again to all of our guests and fans. This wouldn't be possible without y'all.
ThePlayersTribune.com